and it's called I Will Sing. If you listen to the words, it says sometimes you seem like you're a million miles away, and yet, and this very day, and you know, sometimes like that, you haven't lost your faith, but sometimes it's just real difficult to come before the Lord, and this song talks about that. So if Tim, you'd start that, and when it's over, you'll need to stop it. Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles or more, it feels today. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. But I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing, I will praise. Even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing, I will praise. Lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true, I will sing. Lord, it's hard for me to see all the thoughts and plans you have for me. I will put my trust in you, knowing that you died, set me free. But I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing. Begin to praise, your spirit lifts up. As they say, praise is an attitude. It elevates your altitude. In honor of two men tonight, we're in the book of 1 Timothy. Is that your name, Timothy? Is that your name too, Timothy? So you're both Timothy. But we're in 1 Timothy, not two Timothys, but one Timothy. And we're in chapter 1. Figured you all probably got that book, you know, stamped, highlighted. Everywhere it says Timothy, highlighted in bold letters. And everywhere it says Bill in there, I'm sure you have that. And Rebecca, I'm sure you have all those marked. And where it says Billy Joyce in there, I'm sure you have all those passages marked. That's it. We're looking at verse 12, and we're going forward through verse 16. I'm upset that God wants me to preach on this. It's very difficult for me to preach on, but we'll do this. With His help. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it in ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Bill, would you pray for the message tonight?
Praise Heavenly Father, Lord, for giving us a good message here tonight. Guide us all in the way that we should go with you, Lord. We thank you for everything you gave us today, Lord. Fellowshipping together and having a good time, Lord. Just bless us all.
I own those verses. There's some passage in the scripture you might say, well, that's for about Paul, or that's about David, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when you live through what's been written there, it's about you. There comes a time when a verse brings you to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, and you say, it's mine. And this is a passage that's like that for me. I read this one and I say, that's mine. That one's for me. And I want to share with you how amazing these verses are to me. Because what he talks about is, it says, that I thank Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me and counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, I want to tell you, when I was 15 years old, in February, this month of 1980, I was a normal teenage kid, didn't have a care in the world except for I worried about everything, and extremely, extremely shy. Extremely, painfully shy. Had a deep interest in music, had a deep interest in writing poems and things like that. But I didn't have a lick of musical talent. I could play Amazing Grace on one finger on the piano, and that was it. I even flunked out a flutophone. Just couldn't keep up with it. I had a tuba in my room, a sousaphone, if you will, in third and fourth grade, fifth grade. It looked like a shark. When Jaws came out, I saw it every night in my room, and I went to bed scared. I finally had to quit playing the tuba because of Jaws. I was scared of everything. When God Save me through the blood of Jesus Christ on that day in March of 2000. I asked Him to do one thing, because He asked me if I was able to be crucified with Him. And I said, no, Lord, I'm not able. Make me able to follow You. And in this 12th verse it says, He has enabled me. So I say that's my verse. Because every time I think about it, God has done miraculous things to take a person who had literally no musical talent to be able to actually play a guitar and sing with it and write songs with it and stand up in front of people and speak His word when I couldn't even look at you in public without getting nervous. God did that, not me. I couldn't do that. God began to number me with the faithful on that day in 1980, and it was on that day when He began to change me. Now, the process wasn't overnight. If you think God's going to give you a great call, which He has put a call on your life, He's not going to put you into the position overnight. He's going to train you and teach you and disciple you and study His Word is what He wants you to do to show yourself approved so you can be a workman in His kingdom. He wants to know that He can disciple you in the way that He wants to teach you things. I always thought that what God was teaching me when I was pretending to be a disc jockey throughout my high school years, that I was actually going to be one. That was my career choice. Radio. What they say is, if you can't play it, play it. In other words, if you're not a musician, play their music on the radio as a disc jockey. And that's what I was trying to do. How did I know that all those years listening to myself on a cassette talking back was getting me to clearly speak so that people could understand what I said later? I used to, as my family said, mutter and mumble. I'd say something like this. Well, I'm going to go to the store, I'll see you back in a little bit. Huh? I said, I'm going to go to the store, I'll be back in a little bit. That's how I talk. Finally, he said, why don't you enunciate a little? And I'd say, okay, I'm going to the store, I'll see you in a little while, goodbye. Well, I thought I'd said that, and all I said was, go to the store, see you in a little while, bye. Now you understand it, right? But you didn't understand it if you didn't know what I was saying. My writing the same way. If you don't know what my writing looks like, you don't know what I wrote. A lot of people can say, I know about that. I know a kid who, named David Stovall, 8th grade, had an creative arts, woodworking and arts, or something like that. Industrial arts class. David Stovall wrote right-handed so sloppy you couldn't read it. He broke his right arm, set it right and left arm, didn't look any different. How bad he wrote. It was horrible. It was so bad he couldn't even read it. When he wrote left-handed, he said, looks the same to me. I said, yeah, now you're ambidextrous. You write bad with both hands. That's supposed to be funny. I tried to be humorous. Can't blame me for trying. But what I want to say with you is, and share with you is, that if you'd have known me all the way through my sophomore and junior years in high school, you'd have said, not him. Not him. He won't be a minister. No, he won't be a pastor. He'll be one of those electricians in a shop or behind the scenes on the radio, but he won't be in a pulpit. He can't be around people without getting nervous. Too shy. Too inward, if you will. Thought everybody didn't like me and things like that. And this is what it says. I like this. He says, God in Jesus Christ counted me faithful. And then put me in the ministry. You couldn't tell me on that day in March of 1980 that I was faithful, that He could put me into ministry and that would be the right thing for Him to do. You wouldn't have said that. But it says, He counted me faithful. Before I did anything, He counted me faithful. Why? Because God formed me and molded me. And I was turning out just the way He thought I would. And I was faithful to the mold He put upon me. And I don't mean the dirt. I mean the creative form. I was falling in line with the pattern. Remember in, I don't know, maybe they still make these, Simplicity had these patterns you put on the material, you cut it out and put it together, it looked like a dress or a shirt, right? They still have those? Those patterns, you know, you pin them on, you cut out the shapes and sew them on the lines, you get something, right? They still do those? If you put it together right, the pattern turns out to be what it's supposed to be. Well, here I was, pieces of material laying around, shy, afraid to even look at the parts, and God said, that's faithful. The pattern is still in place. We just haven't put the parts together yet. He said, but the pattern's coming along just fine. Now it's time to cut you out, put you together so you can see what you really are. Plus, I'm going to put my Spirit in you, which will give you boldness. Thank goodness He did that. Whew, needed that. But what I'm trying to say is after that, and listen to what Paul says, and I think this is where you understand this verse. He says, before, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, that tells me that all that garbage that we ever did, that we didn't understand we were doing wrong, God says, that doesn't count against you. You didn't know. You thought you were faithful, and you were faithful to what you understood. That you thought you were doing the right thing according to what you were and who you were. And so if you're trying to live up to that measure, I'm not going to fault you for that. Because you didn't believe isn't your fault. Right? And He says, I obtained mercy. There's a passage. And this passage goes along with this. Maybe you've read it before. But this passage just really touches my heart. Because it talks along the same lines. And He says, you know, I want to find this for you because this passage just makes me so happy to read it. It says this. This is Titus. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, we were deceived. We served divers lusts and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy just like everybody else. Hateful, hating one another. And in this verse in Titus says, but after that, after you served the wrong thing, the kindness and love of God appeared. The kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. After you messed your life up. And it wasn't by works of righteousness that we earned God's salvation. It wasn't by something so wonderful that I did that God said, I'm going to make you a minister of the gospel. I'm going to ordain you, pour out my Spirit because you're such a good person. It's not what He did. He said, it wasn't because of your righteousness, but by my grace. I couldn't even begin to explain to you that transformation. It was according to His mercy and the washing of regeneration when He made all things new, that He made me new. When I was younger, I can say that now, 20 years ago, someone would have asked me who I thought I was. what Bible character I identified with, I had no problem telling you. It was Abraham. Abraham was called from his people and his land to go somewhere else, to be faithful. And he wandered around like a nomad. And that's what I felt like early in the ministry. I was just wandering around and God was using me and I just went everywhere. And for a long time I identified with Abraham because Abraham was the one. You know, he was called out from where he was and he went to a new place. And I went to a new place. I went out of state to a place that was not my own, to a new country, to a new place for me. And I identified with Abraham real well. And as God began to move through that experience with me, He was making sure I was faithful to keep His word. One day something happened. You see, I thought I was Abraham. But one day, in 1991, November, I was preaching in Georgia. Still considered myself to be Abraham. And I was praying one day after service in the sanctuary. And I said, Lord, You've renamed a lot of people. I think You've renamed me Abraham. And He said, fall on your face before Me. And I was about halfway down this large sanctuary in the aisle. And I said, what? Fall, there's nobody here. And He said, fall down on My face before, on Thy face before Me. And I did. And I felt a hand on me. And it said, I anoint you, Paul. I said, Paul? You anoint me my middle name? Am I supposed to start going by my middle name? Other people have done that. Am I supposed to do that? I didn't do it. I looked at the word Paul. It means little. Small. I said, okay, you anointing me small means I'm going to have a big church with a small amount of people. That's what I thought He meant there. And then it changed. Hey, less than a year later. And boy, did it change. Because in November 1992, everything changed. You see, I was at a retreat. And I asked the pastor to pray for me. One day I went by his house. I said, would you pray for me? He says, yeah, I've been expecting you. You know you're in trouble when the pastor's been waiting for you to come by. God tells him you're coming and you show up because I've been expecting you to get in here. You go, oh, this is my day. God's got something going on. He prayed over me and that's the day the Holy Spirit anointing fell on me. On that day, I saw and heard and understood things I'd never understood to that point. And life began to open up. Never been the same since. Never. I cannot tell you how wonderful it is, but that CD I was telling you about, I got it that day. Awesome. Awesome. But what I want to tell you is what happened is on that day, and from that point forward, I read in Acts the story of Paul again. And this is what he told Paul. He wasn't anointing me, Paul. He was anointing me with Paul's anointing. Do you remember Paul's anointing? What he told him? It's a powerful, powerful word. And I'll share it with you. You see, I had read the story of Paul's conversion, Saul to Paul, on the road to Damascus in Acts. But it's told three times. Now, I'd only read the first two. I didn't read the third one. And shortly thereafter, I read the third one. And this is what it says. I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to anoint you a minister and to witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from Gentiles unto whom I now send you. And you were to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And God said, I'm anointing you with that. I'll wake you up. I'm anointing you with that anointing. That anointing is the one He said He was giving. That He would show me things that I need to share with other people. And believe you me, He had a couple things to show me I didn't want to tell people about. I had some things, some gifts of the Spirit I didn't want anybody knowing in our conservative little church I was pastoring. I certainly didn't want my parents to know. I told them anyway. And when I told them, they said, we knew something was different. Because now all of a sudden, you're speaking, your preaching has a supernatural presence. And from that point on, I've been able to converse and bless and strengthen and communicate with my Heavenly Father anytime. But I want to share with you that anointing Paul had was really awesome. Because he says, I'm going to take you and give you the message to the Gentiles. Those people who are not Jews, in other words. And I said, well, that means just about everybody I come across. And that's a good thing. And he says, he counted me faithful, put me into the ministry because he saw the pieces he put out there that were part of who I am and looked far into the future and said, they're still coming in line with what I have for you. You're still faithful to the final picture. Anybody ever worked a jigsaw puzzle? Anybody ever not? Got a lot of pieces in it, and it looks like a mess. And each piece you put in at the beginning doesn't look like much. Even if you make the borders, you still don't know what goes in the middle, and you just know how big it is. Well, that's who I was. I was all these pieces thinking, well, God, you can't put me in ministry. He says, oh, but the pieces are still there. I'm just putting them in place one at a time. And you won't see the picture real well right now, but when you begin to see the picture, you will let me put the pieces in quicker. But you're still faithful because all the pieces I put there are still there. And it says, He put me into the ministry before I was even put together. That still amazes me. Green. Not even green. Not even green enough to be green yet. He put me into ministry. And God will take you too. In green. And put you into ministry. And He will give you mercy. And it says, the grace of the Lord God will be abundant with faith and love. And in verse 16, the last verse, it says, howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. Not so I would be saved, but in me first, Jesus would show forth long-suffering as a pattern. I don't like that word. When it says pattern, it means a model that something else will follow. A pattern to everyone who after believes in Jesus to life everlasting. Now, if it says that, then you listen carefully to what Paul said and you'll understand why I speak this message. The Apostle Paul said that what happened to me will happen to you. If you come to believe in Jesus Christ, He will take your scattered pieces of who you are and begin to count you faithful. And anytime you say, Lord, I'm just not worthy, He's going to say, I know you don't know yet because you don't see the final picture. But I know what this thing looks like when it's done, and it's nice. And as long as you haven't torn those pieces apart, He says, I can still make that picture. And Paul says, I had to suffer to get that picture completed. What did he suffer? It says in Scripture he had a thorn in the flesh. Was it something that God had done to him? No. It is something that Paul believed about himself as a weakness. And I bet every person in this room thinks they're not perfect. If they have a weakness, it's going to keep them from being completely perfect, and that God can't use you completely because of this weakness. But I'm here to share with you that that is long-suffering. That is there to teach you to be patient with yourself. It's a pattern. God is patient with you, and He wants you to be patient with Him as He works on you. The only prayer you got to say is, Lord, have mercy on me, and keep putting the pieces back in place. Keep putting the pieces together. Keep putting another piece in. Keep cleaning me up and making me a fuller picture of who You want me to be. You obtain mercy after the pieces were messed up. So you could long suffer the travesty of this world compared to the beauty of God's mercy. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that an oxymoron? Where we feel we're unworthy and God says that's how you're supposed to feel so you can feel My blessing. Because if you felt you could earn it, it wouldn't be free. That's what He's taught me so far. I'm no longer Abraham. I don't even identify with that fella. I feel kind of grounded now. I like who I am as Paul. I like the anointing. And I like the fact that it's a powerful message. Because He's still challenging me and growing me. And He's not done. He's got some more pieces to put in place. But I like what I see. Looks a lot different than what it did 20 years ago. And 26 years ago, when I wouldn't even look you in the eye. That's the message for tonight. Any thoughts?